Hello and welcome to this talk where Henning, Henrik Krams, oh, that's the new name. Henrik Kramselund will talk about how to get started with networking and security.
Yes, thank you very much. I have prepared this slideshow, which is in a PDF, and the PDF is available on the internet. If you go to GitHub, I have an account called Kramse, and in that account there are a couple of pinned repositories, like the one called Security Courses. If you go to the one called Security Courses and Presentations, MISC, Getting Started in InfoSec, you can get the PDF. Those PDFs and all the data in that repository is open source, so you can remix it, reuse it, take it apart, use the parts that you like, feel inspired by it perhaps, and almost do whatever you like. Going back to the slideshow, this PDF is linked with a lot of links to other pages, and some of them I might have time to go to, but otherwise you can download the PDF, of course, and then look at all the links afterwards. My name is Henrik Kramselund Jerminsen, and I'm a security consultant, internet samurai. I have my own company called Security. I also work as a teacher at Københavns Erhvervsakademi, Copenhagen Academy, where I teach in diploma in IT security. And a lot of this is inspired by this, but I have also been teaching a lot over the years. I'm an independent networking security consultant, and the network and security parts is what I'm going to talk about today. I typically do three things in my company. I build networks. I really love to install infrastructures, configure BGP. I've been part of a NOC previously, but I'm not really doing much anymore in NOC, but I've been doing some workshops and talk this born hack. But I like to build networks. I also like to audit networks, penetration test networks, do active testing of networks. We did an active test with some DDoS traffic the other day, which perhaps made a bit of the network unstable here, which was a good test because we got some results and we can work from that and improve things next time. So that's what I really like about testing networks. You can find the problems and then you can try to remove them, decrease the risk of this happening in real life production. And then I do teaching of network and security and auditing and pen testing and building networks. And that is where this talk originates from. I have an email address. I have a mobile phone. You can find me at camp. I've been in 019 for this week, and I will stay on a couple of days after the event finishes. The goal for today is to talk about how to get a plan if you want to get started in network and security. So you can see that there's a lot of fun stuff going on. There's a lot of what? Yeah.
It's blinking.
I will try to continue nice and easy, and you will try to fix the technical issues. So you see all of this in funny stuff going on in network and security. You might want to have a job. You are interested in this, but it's a huge wall of information. It's really hard to break into in networking and security because there's just too much to learn. And some of the things that you want to learn, some of the things you read about are actually very advanced stuff that requires you to know something else, which again requires you to know something else before you can even get started understanding the issues. So my goal for today is to point you towards some resources so you can get started. I will have some resources that are open source, some are my own, so you can get started and create a plan for you to learn network and security without drowning, without being overwhelmed by all of this information. So I will try to list a few core concepts that I think you should know and learn. They are a bit generic, so you can reuse them across the board. And I try to actually use these core concepts in my teaching, in my practical exercises, because if you then have another course with me, it will be the same. So if I have the diploma in IT security and I teach 5 courses over the year 2021, the people that are coming to the next course will already be more prepared and will actually be able to understand far more advanced concepts the further they get. So I will try to list a few core concepts that I think are useful, some stuff that you can immediately use for perhaps getting a job, you will know enough that you will have some experience, and you can use those as tools also. If you get a job and you have the opportunity to choose tools and add something, you already will have some practical knowledge of a few core concepts that can be used that are useful, not just for learning, but also for production use. When I look at network and security, I also look at the security engineering as a job role, which is one of the roles that I have had in my career as an IT consultant. I have been working as a security engineer, and that's a very common role to have. And I'm not going to read all of this list of things that you may have in that role, but there's a lot of things that you need to do in your daily work if you're a security engineer. So being prepared to do all of these things require a lot of work, and that is kind of a wall of text of things that you need to be able to do. But where to get started? To get started, I would recommend that you find a good structured body of knowledge like the ISC squared common body of knowledge. It's something that has existed for many years. It has been changed over the years, but it's a collection of topics. So having a collection of topics will provide kind of an overview of the area of security. The ISC squared organization has the CISSP certification, and I have taken that one, and going through all of the 10 domains at that time and now the 8 domains will allow you to learn them each by themselves. You might already know parts of some of these. If you know parts of some of these, it would make more sense perhaps to expand that knowledge and get to be an expert in one of these domains. But if you want to take the certification or if you want to fulfill the role of a security engineer, you might be required to know about each and every one of these, but it doesn't make sense to read about all of these at the same time. So again, you can use this to create a plan for which ideas and areas that you want to look at. And then when you have all of these domains and you have a structured body of knowledge, it will also be easier to see new tools, new exploits, new networking concepts, new papers, articles. The things that you read about will often fit into these structured domains of knowledge. So it will be easier for you to decide, is this a thing that I would look into, something I need to look into, something I'm expected to look into? For instance, when some of these CPU-related vulnerabilities came out a few years back, Meltdown and Spectre, those are really advanced concepts, and they are not for everyone to read about, but you should know where they fit into the overall models. So I think it's a good idea to start with some of these structured bodies of knowledge. If you want to use this one, that's fine. That is the one that I was following to make sure that I fulfilled all the parts of the certification, CISSP. And I would not recommend that you take a CISSP immediately if you're new to network and security, but you may decide that you would go in that direction. And it does cover kind of all of security. All of security fits into that overall structure. Then you might want to get more practical and getting into a job role, getting a job working in security and networking might require you to have a certification. If you don't have any experience and you want to get started in this area, one of the ways into a job role would be through a certification. There's lots of smaller security and network certifications. There's Security Plus. There's a lot of smaller ones also from what are they called? Doesn't matter. There's lots of security certifications and network certifications. All the bigger companies, the vendors, typically will have an entry level. In Juniper, they call it associate level entry level certification that will get you started on the track to some of the bigger certifications. And you might know that Cisco, you can get a CCNA and you can get all of the certifications all the way to a CCIE, Cisco Certified Engineer, and so on. Those are the ones that require you to spend hundreds and thousands of Danish kroner to get those certifications. It will take you lots of years and experience, but all of these will begin with some kind of entry-level certification. Again, looking at some of these, and if we go to the training link, I'm not going to go to it now, But in this Juniper certification, they will have a list of the requirements for each certification. So again, that will provide a roadmap for the parts that you will need to know to take that specific certification, and then you can start to work through those requirements. A good idea is perhaps to look at some of these requirements before you try scouting for jobs, before you go take the certification. Maybe the certification won't happen before you have somebody that can sponsor the certification attempt, but it might be a good idea for yourself to have this list of requirements and decide, oh, I'm going to look at one of these, two of these each week. And then after perhaps a year, you would have gone through all of these and would perhaps be ready for certification, and you might be able to find a sponsor. Or at least when you go to like a job interview, you would be able to say that I have worked through all of this material and I feel confident that I know enough about these and I have done some practical exercises at home too. So that is, again, another way to look at the structured bodies of knowledge. These are, of course, very vendor-specific. Some of these are also across architectures. So you will see a lot of cloud in a lot of certifications now because cloud has become very popular these years, even though a lot of cloud is actually just moving the same stuff that we have in the enterprises into the cloud. I have taken some of the Juniper certifications. I really enjoyed it. They are in different tracks. So in some cases, you would also need to decide if you want to work in the cloud or you want to work in enterprise routing and switching. And there's also a security track. So if you want to use specifically security products, firewalls, and those parts of the Juniper products or the Cisco products or the other vendors' products, you can decide to follow that specific track. But in general, if you want to get started in network and security, you want to take some of the entry level, you want to look at the entry level requirements, and that can provide a roadmap for which parts to look at. The next part is something that I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to get better at this. I'm going to be required to do a lot of teaching over the next years. I actually have a full-time job from 1st of September at Kia. I'm going to be teaching a bit more than I do now. And it's really difficult to teach because we all learn at different levels. All of you in here probably have different backgrounds. So trying to explain a concept, a tool, an area to this group is kind of difficult. So what I would like to do and what I propose is that we look at the skills that we want to learn as different levels. And for a lot of us hackers on a hacker camp like this, we are quite practical. So I have decided in some of my courses and some of the workshops that I have done here not to spend a lot of time on the theoretical parts, not digging down into going through all the options and levels and everything. This screenshot shows a tool called Nmap. The Nmap tool has lots and lots of options and things you can activate and do and scripting built in. If I were to go through all of Nmap's options before you ran a single Nmap command, you would get bored, you would feel tired, you would not be happy. But if we try to do it immediately, try running a program, even though we don't know what's going on, we know that we can run the tool and we can get some data. And then we can try to understand parts of this data. And as we get more interested and we might see the value of a tool, we can start to dig into how to run the tool better, faster, how to get even more information, how to redirect the tool so we can expand our coverage with the tool and the data that we get out of the tool so we get more confident that we have done even more with the tool. In this case, it's an Nmap port scanner that can look for ports on a network. And that is actually one of the most important part of network and security, because behind all of these ports is going to be software, and software is crap. Especially software that I write is crap. Every line of code is a risk of doing a security problem for the user, for the system, for the network. So having less software exposed is a good thing. So by learning Nmap, you will be able to actually provide some value to a network immediately. And you are welcome to scan my services. You can scan my web servers. You can scan from this network. If you scan from this network and you scan somebody that you're not allowed to, I will get some abuse mails next week, and I do not recommend scanning people at random, but I do recommend you scan your own networks. So we may decide that we want to learn Nmap. So we're going to use that as an example now. Nmap is a very famous port scanner. There are multiple books available for this tool, and you want to learn this. To learn it, I have done this knowledge level, skills level, competence level, trying to cut up learning Nmap into different parts. So at the knowledge level, you want to know, what is a port scanner? Why? What is that Nmap? I've heard the name, I've seen the Matrix movie where the screenshot was from. What is a port scanner? To be able to understand that and answer that question, you might need to know some TCP/IP. You need to know what an IP address is. So before you look at Nmap, you may want to look at TCP and IP and IP addresses first. You may want to look at ports and services, which are, for instance, HTTP port 80, which is for web servers. And you probably have some web servers around. You have some web servers on some of the devices that you have. You probably have a network at home. You have a network at school and the organizations that you visit. When you go to Bornhack, there's a network. So you can start working with networks. When you know some of the key elements of a network, you can answer, what is a port scanner? That is a tool that scans the network, lists the ports and services, so you can attack them. And if you find open services and ports, you can remove those. So that's what a port scanner is on the knowledge level. The next level might be that you want to run this port scanner. You want to be able to be the person that presses enter on the system, like in the Matrix movie, find an interesting system and do something with it. To be able to run a port scanner, you will need to have an operating system. Some tools require you to have a specific operating system. For instance, Nmap runs on Linux. It ran originally on Linux only. So in the old days, you would have to have a Linux computer. Today, we are a little bit more lucky because we can get Nmap, the package, for Mac, Windows, Linux, and a lot of other operating systems. So we are more free for this specific tool to choose whatever we like. And I actually often recommend installing Nmap on your normal machine. But typically, I would also recommend to go directly to a virtual machine with Kali Linux. So now I'm introducing a large, huge, complex operating system called Kali Linux, which you might not be familiar with. But I would consider that a requirement for running the port scanner Nmap because I know it runs better on Kali Linux. It's best on Linux. It's fastest on Linux. I can run all the parts on Linux. So Kali Linux would be an excellent driver, motor for running Nmap, but then you need to run Node Kali Linux. So you would need to know something about Linux if you don't know Linux ahead. All of these things will provide some paths that you need to select. You need to select which parts to look at when. And some of you might want to jump directly to running Nmap on Windows, which is fine. But later on, you would probably have to run Kali Linux anyway because some other tools would require you to run Kali Linux. But you may have to decide for yourself in which direction to go, and you should probably not select a very advanced tool to begin learning network and security. And Nmap is one of the ones that you can get started pretty easily, and it will provide a lot of value. Then, when you have understood what a port scanner is, what it does on the network, you have found a way to run it, you may have found some of the options, you have looked at some of the options, then comes the next problem of how to run a quality port scan of an enterprise. So that's a complete, that may be the goal that you wanted in the first place. You wanted to provide a port scan of a full enterprise, a full network, an organization. For instance, you wanted to scan all of Bornhack, making sure that you have closed all the ports that you can. Only the relevant ports are open. That's really a hard task. That's not something you can do immediately. That requires you to have a plan for scanning, know which scan functions to use, and that will require you to invest more time. But you can actually get started pretty quickly with this one, but I think it's interesting to try to note down the requirements before you try running the tool. And if you try to teach tools for others, maybe you should make it more evident what is required before they can run the tool. I try to write in my description for my workshops that you should know what an IP address is before coming to an Nmap pen test workshop. Because if you don't know what an IP address is, it doesn't really make sense to start running some command with a magical number dot number dot number something. So you need to know something before you get started. If you specifically want to learn Nmap, I have a 4-hour course with Nmap as the subject. There's an exercise booklet on my GitHub. You're welcome to use that. And that will actually bring you from almost zero and then into being able to do something like a quality port scan of your home network, and then maybe a medium-sized network. And with some experience, you would be able to attain the goal of running a quality port scan of an enterprise. Also, another way to structure all of this, because now we have introduced some things like IP addresses and port numbers, you can look at the technologies that you want to learn. In my case, I want to learn networking. Whenever you want to learn networking, you will often see this OC reference model on the left, which is a new model, but the older model, the Internet Protocol Suite, was before the OC reference model, but both of them provide a structured way to look at networks as being divided into layers. And the whole goal of having them in layers is that you can divide the problem of communicating computers into smaller pieces, that you can solve the problems, you can put the solutions together, and then you can attain communication between computers across an internet. So that is also a way to look at technologies that we want to learn, looking at the different layers. Some of you might be interested in lower levels like Ethernet and Wi-Fi, the physical layers, fibers, copper cables, SFPs, all of these things which are related to hardware. Some of you might be more interested in the IP layers, IP version 4, and there's something called IP version 6. You can decide not to learn IP version 6 yet because it's not very popular in Denmark. You can also decide to spend some time on that subject because you want to be an expert in IP version 6 security, which is something that you need to know about when you go into networks. And a funny thing that you can say to new places, or if you go into networks, you have IPv6 running in your network. Maybe the IT department hasn't activated it, but it is typically activated by default on a lot of operating systems and network devices and mobile phones and tablets. All the mobile devices have IP version 6 enabled, so there will be some IPv6 in your network, whether you know it or not. Looking at the layers, you can go through each layer, try to find the parts that you want to learn, but there's also a lot of layers, there's a lot of technologies, there's lots of protocols. Looking at this slide alone, should you learn about XDR and NFS? Perhaps not, maybe not the most important. One of the most important would be HTTP. And HTTP is built on TCP, which is built on IP, IP version 4 and IP version 6. So you would be required, again, to learn some of the dependencies before you can learn HTTP. Luckily, some of these books that I recommend actually has a walkthrough and discusses some of the core protocols so you can get started. Especially the book called Practical Packet Analysis has a nice description in few pages about these specific protocols. Otherwise, you would have to go and find one of the big 1,000-page books that will go through each and every protocol, but not tell you where and when to use each of these. It will just have a description of all the protocols with all the fields, which is a boring book. I don't think there's much good network books, but the Practical Packet Analysis will discuss TCP, DNS, HTTP, DHCP, some of these basic protocols for even getting connected to a network. So this slide has a lot of text, and this is actually my smallest list of recommended technologies to learn in networking. So if you want to use Nmap efficiently, you need to know networking. So you need to know some basic protocols from the Internet Protocol Suite, IPTCP or TCP/IP as we have come to refer to it. That is a protocol suite that has taken the whole world. You can get by in your daily work without having to use any other protocols than IP protocols. There are some on lower levels. There are some on higher levels. This is a list of the ones that I think you should look at first. Those are the basic ones to get access to a network. They will help you debug errors and be able to connect to the network. So this is my recommended list. I also have some parts that are a bit optional. So on the network layer, Ethernet, ARP, IPv4, and ICMP. You need to know those to work in network and security. But you also probably need to learn a little bit of Wi-Fi, because there are Wi-Fi out there and all the clients are using Wi-Fi. And IP version 6 is coming, and I think you should look at that. But you can do that later. Something that is essential, though, on the transport layer is that you can know the difference between TCP and UDP. So you need to look at those. Then we have some common upper layer protocols, DHCP for configuring IP addresses, DNS for domain name system, looking up names, and then, of course, HTTP. And you can learn a lot by only using these protocols that I have listed. You can run a lot of stuff in your lab on your laptop with HTTP. You don't have to look much into HTTP at first, but then when you have understood the basic protocols, you can add the layer of encryption using HTTP, which uses the transport layer security. And when you have learned that part with HTTPS, you can start realizing that, oh, TLS is a generic protocol for unwrapping all of our other protocols. So you have actually learned something that is a dependency for security in a lot of other protocols like SMTP for mail. So this is my basic go-to list that I recommend that you look at and learn. How to learn is another difficult question to answer. I like to learn new concepts from books. They have a clear structure, less confusion. You will follow the path that the writer made for the book. You might not agree that if you know the subject, that this is the best way, but good books will have a clear structure, so you can go from initial concepts and all the way to the end of the book and the target and the goal of the book. So I would recommend looking at some of the books. There's lots of books available. Some of them will have exercises. If you are the type that does exercises, then please do. Otherwise, you can go to the internet and see if you can find CTFs or stuff if you want to learn hacking, perhaps. But going directly to a CTF on the internet is very difficult. I enjoy a lot of the nice books from No Starch. I'm not sponsored in any way by them. I really enjoy these books from No Starch. There's also a lot of Humble Bundles. There's actually one right now, Unix Humble Bundle, which will provide you a book called Classic Shell Scripting. Classic Shell Scripting will tell you exactly how to automate stuff using Unix Shell, and it's one of my favorite books, and I use a lot of the advice from that book in my daily work. And then you can get like a bundle of books for $25, which are legal, PDF formatted, and some of them in the current bundle is a little bit dated, but some of them are also very, very new. And I know that at least that this current Humble Bundle, some of the books are worth their price. Sometimes you can also find books for free if you give your email address. And I think there was a presentation about why it's not free to give your email address. But I do it once in a while. I provide my email address, and I can get a book like the Web Application Security book from 2020. You can download it for free using the nginx.com library, where they allow you to get it if they get a chance to add you to a mailing list and everything. Of course, that's a price you have to pay, but you are getting a full-length book that you can use for learning web application security specifically. And I have multiple books like that, where I have provided an email address and gotten the book, and that is actually easier on a low budget. All of my courses and exercise booklets are available on GitHub, so you can find a lot of exercises and slides there. Of course, slides alone is not very often a good solution. It's not certainly not a replacement for books, so maybe combine some of these into your own reading plan. When you know these basic protocols, we have decided to learn these, we have learned these, then you can go into different directions, because if you have a core concept down, you have some basic concept down, you can go into something like, say, a basic investigation of a security incident. You can look at existing packet dumps on the internet, because then you can actually look at packets, you can look at packet files. You even know how perhaps to capture files, working with packet captures, and then you can start doing port mirroring perhaps. You can start to look into understanding what a switch does, what Ethernet is, and that will actually allow you to progress in your working of network and security. I recommend this book, The Practical Packet Analysis, because that will explain how to do sniffing. But there's also a lot of educational materials from other organizations like ENISA. I'm using some of the ENISA materials in my courses. They have more or less complete courses about computer forensics, network investigation. Some of them are a bit dated, but they more or less provide links to the same tools that I use for my teaching, which is why I've started to use those, because it was a good fit for the core concepts that I already use. Just have to check time. Okay, not bad. Oops. So yes, the ENISA documents are some that I also recommend, and they are paid for by the EU, so that is us. So you can just as well use that. It's free for you to use. Some of the information that you can also use is all the standards, all the hacker text, and I force my students to go through a list of devices, articles and formats. So I recommend that you read older hacker text files, computer science papers, web articles, book chapters for free on the internet, standard documents, and then, of course, the internet requests for comments, which are describing the internet standards that we all use. The goal is to make sure that you have been subjected to the different formats where you can find information. So it may not be nice to look at an old ASCII drawing and an old hacker text, but if you can understand that one and spend a little bit of time, then later on in your career, when you meet such a format, it will be easier for you to read it. So I recommend subjecting yourself to these different formats of learning. Having to read a computer science paper for the first time might be a little bit hard, but if the first computer science paper you read is about Meltdown and Spectra, then you have to both understand the format and how it's written, and some kind of advanced subject. So I think it's better to go out and investigate the different ways of finding information about network and security. Also, when you do this, you will also meet a lot of organizations, groups, persons, authors, and that will start your list of people to follow, information from this author. If you like the way he writes, she writes, then you can look at what other books they have written, perhaps. You can dig into their material. And that is something that I do a lot. And in my lists of all of these papers and resources, I actually have tried to put in some of my favorite authors. So whenever you look at the list from my course, like, let's see if you can get this one to open link. So if you go to this course, which is Communication and Network Security, there's a list of the books that I use for this course. This is the primary literature. I'm not sure if you can read it down there. So the Applied Network Security Monitoring and Practical Packet Analysis and Linux Basics for Hackers, those are the primary books that we are following because they have some structure and go from the initial concepts and all the way to some level. And I recommend that people buy these. But I will also have supporting literature. I will have links to old PDFs from 80s, 90s perhaps. I will have to some of the newer stuff that is going on, transport layer security, making sure that people have been subjected to that, and all the way to WireGuard, which is a new VPN protocol. So being able to read the different formats will allow you to learn new stuff. Oh no, 10 minutes. And you're welcome to use that list, of course. That is my courses, and that's also listed, I think, in the program. There's a lot of tools to learn. I really love a lot of open source, a lot of Linux, Unix. You should, of course, also learn some of the tools that everybody uses, like Git and GitHub. You should have a little bit of programming experience. I recommend using something called Ansible, because you will be installing and configuring software, and you can use that in production use if you know Ansible. Also, I have decided to use Elasticsearch in a lot of my courses because it's a generic engine for storing data. So you can store even network data, security data, you can have logs, you can have measurements in Elasticsearch, and there's already a huge body of programs that use Elasticsearch. So you can build all of these systems if you know Elasticsearch. You can find other systems, and you can perhaps find the best three systems, but if they each use a different database below, you will have to learn those three databases below to use those tools. So instead, I would rather teach my students to use Elasticsearch a little bit, enough to get running, and then they can put on other tools on top of that. I also recommend that you immediately today start running some virtual machines on your laptop, having a hacker lab with a Kali Linux and perhaps some other system like a Debian. Then you can run Elasticsearch on the Debian, you can run hacker tools on the Kali, and you will get practical work done with these virtual machines on your laptop, sitting in a tent on Fyn. Some of the tools that I recommend you also look at are also very generic, like the one called Maltrail, which will have a lot of negative lists incorporated into the tool. So that will be a source for lists that you can use. It will have a lot of lists and references to other projects that are about security, but this is a very easy tool to get started. Ansible is a configuration management tool, and of course multiple tools exist, but specifically for networking, I think Ansible is a very nice choice because you can use Ansible towards a generic Linux, Debian, Kali perhaps, but you can also use it to hardware, so Cisco IOS, Junos, Juniper Junos, Meraki, Dell, all of these listed up here can be configured using Ansible. So it is a nice generic tool that goes across a range of systems. So you only have to learn one configuration management tool, and you should know how to use configuration management. And if you have learned Ansible, it will still be easier to learn some of the other configuration management tools. So it's not wasted if you learn this tool. Python, YAML, Git, GitHub will open a world of tools that you can use. Listed just down at the bottom is one called Oxidized that will work together with network equipment. Just by running Oxidized in a network, gathering configurations from network devices will provide a backup of the network configuration. And many, many networks and companies don't have a backup of their devices. So just by taking a single, simple tool like this, you can provide value for a network. I already told you that Elasticsearch allows you to run things on top of it, but it even goes further because they have defined a schema, Elastic Common Schema, which is an open source specification that would actually allow you to add logs from different firewall formats into the same database, so you would be able to do cross-platform comparison of data and gather that, collect that, centralize that. I really enjoy Elasticsearch a lot. And some of the tools that I use with Elasticsearch is Logstash, PacketBeat, Elastiflow. And PacketBeat allows me at home to check how much of my traffic is IPv4 and how much is IPv6. And I can create with my mouse using Kibana on top of Elasticsearch a nice graph. So I have a graph at home showing IPv4 versus IPv6. So some days I'm running something like 43% of my traffic is IPv6. Stuff like that is fantastic. And if you go to PacketBeat, it can also decipher DNS packets. So if you're learning DNS, start up PacketBeat, which is quite easily on most platforms. It's just Go programs, I think, most of it. Then you actually have graphs already, and you can understand some of these concepts better. If we look at communications and network security, which was the course that I listed earlier, we typically would have the description of a course, which is also a way and information for how to learn a subject. This one is open. You can read the studio ordning, you can read the curriculum requirements, not the curriculum requirements, but the structure of this course. It fits into an overall architecture of this one called Diploma in IT Security, but it is also a dependency for a lot of other educations. The same subjects, networking and communications and security, is what is needed for lots and lots of other educational paths that you want to go through. If we go to that specific course, it has these books listed. I have a lecture plan. Going through the lecture plan would provide you with a reading list if you wanted to read it at home. Reading these books in that order would allow you to go through these subjects. I also have the presentations for this. We teach 14 evenings in total for this course. I have put it into different categories, so each of these 14 evenings will have a specific subject. So if you wanted to learn communications and network security, you can take these 14 evenings and try to do the same at home. So first, set up a hacker lab, and then you would go through all of these different lectures. And I actually didn't show you, but at the bottom is the list of evenings. So one evening is about TCP/IP, one is about firewalls, one is about encryption, and that might also help you in getting a crack at some of these areas. I also use some other books on this course, like open source manuals, like the Debian Administrator's Handbook, the Kali Linux Revealed book. Those are PDF files that you can download, and they will provide you some information about how to run Linux if you're new to Linux and you need to know Linux to work in network and security. Not just me saying it, but there's just so many tools that you need to know Linux, Unix to work in network and security. Also, you need a little bit of devices, and I would recommend going to a trash can somewhere and see if you can find devices. You can get a lot of devices free. You can get a lot of devices cheaply on eBay and places like that. I have an OpenBSD router with me. I have a couple of Juniper switches and a small TP-Link, which is a really crappy software device, but it's interesting nonetheless. It will show you some of the restrictions that are in modern systems, and then typically an access point of some sort. So that is like the most basic lab network, and if you work alone, live alone, you might be able to use your regular home network. Or if you don't mind a little bit of outage, you can use your own network at home. But if you have a family working with video meetings and Zoom and teaching, then probably you shouldn't break their Wi-Fi while they are learning. It's better to have a separate network for that. There's a bit of a reference to some hardware that I have used earlier. The one called TP-Link TLVN722N is a network card that you can buy for about 10 euro. That's not much. So that will allow you to learn a lot. But it only supported 2.4 gigahertz in the old version. If you want to get better hardware, that is, of course, better because it provides more features. But then again, it might be harder to get working. So sometimes also getting a cheap, popular hardware will allow you to learn what you need to learn. And then later on, when somebody else is paying, like a job, an organization, you can buy the better hardware, which has all the features. Both of these usually work great in Kali Linux. And Kali Linux is also the most popular pentest hacking platform. So there will be like, usually there used to be like 100 thousands of videos if you just said hack and Kali on YouTube. And that is only on YouTube. If you go to the whole internet, there will be so many tools that are written on Kali, described on Kali. There's a complete Metasploit Unleashed course material that is running on Kali. So using Kali might not be the one that you want to use forever, but for learning, it might be the best because all the things that you will meet, the problems you will meet, has been met by other people, and a lot of them will have solved it already. So you can find the solution in seconds, and that will be more efficient, hopefully. Trying to finish up, get started doing a hacker lab, look at some of the resources, try to find some of the structured methods, maybe a book, maybe some of these ISC squared CPK, try to do a reading plan. Plan which parts you want to learn. If you want to learn an advanced tool, it might be easier to try to write down the dependencies first and make sure that you have them down, you know what they are, before you move to the advanced tool. I think that was what I wanted to say, so let's have a lot of questions.
Hi Henrik, thank you for the talk. I was wondering if you have any advice on showing your like work on GitHub or GitLab. Let's say software developers get to, you know, show their contributions to open source projects or make their own little projects on GitHub, but I feel like it's a bit more difficult for let's say networking or Linux. Could it be, for example, a home lab or some documentation? Yeah, thank you.
I'm not sure how to respond. So you have a problem on GitHub to find information about networking and Linux? Sorry.
What I mean is, let's say if you're a software developer, you get to add your, let's say, GitHub to your CV, and you get to talk to your employer, and then you can show here, let's say I made a snake game or I contributed to these open source projects. But for example, with network or security, I think it's a bit more difficult to show that you're doing stuff on your own or, so it's not just your studies, that it's relevant for something for your employer. Yeah.
Networking is code. So network devices have code. Network requires code, requires a lot of network near services like the Oxidize tool that was earlier. So for something like the Oxidize tool, you might be the one writing support for a platform that is not supported right now in that. And I went to some of the tools that I use, like the one called Seek, and actually I have made a small change to the man page of Seek. Yay! It's not a big, huge thing, but still you can do a lot of changes and additions to some of these tools. And I think that could be used in the same way. But you can also do presentations in places and then put the presentations on GitHub, which is what I have done. So say you want to show off Wi-Fi security for a local organization, you can do the slides and put them on GitHub. And then you can write on your CV that you did a presentation about Wi-Fi security at the local Copenhagen meetup for Wi-Fi enthusiasts.
Any more questions?
Not a lot of questions. I should have talked more about the slides then.
Or maybe you said it all during the slides.
Yeah, there's a lot of links on this. So go through the slides and send me email if you need more help. Look at perhaps Kea. Kea is in Copenhagen, but in Aarhus, the same education is there. And on UCL, they have the same or more or less the same. It's very common to have these basic network and security courses, so you will find them around the world, I'm sure.
Thank you very much, Henrik.
Thank you.